Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, guys. So there are a lot of things said about your generation. A lot of things. I am not going to say what generation I'm in, but I'm in a generation that obviously was before your time. But there are a lot of things said about your generation. Can anybody help me out about some things that are said about your generation? Anybody want to throw anything out there? What's that? Horrible. Heard that one. Anything else? Corrupt. Ooh, that's a big word. That, yes, I have heard about you guys. Anybody else? Yes, it's a big word. You're like, no, it's not. What's it? Terrible. Yeah, what else? Have you guys ever heard the R word? No? Yeah, we're living in that generation. You're hopeless. Yes, I have heard this. Hi. Thought he was raising his hand. Just saying hi. You're ruined. What else? Yes, you guys, have you guys heard these things about yourselves? Have you guys heard disrespectful? Yeah. Have you guys heard entitled? Do you guys know what that word means? It means you think everything's owed to you. Like, you don't have to earn anything. It's just owed to you. Well, I'm alive, so you got to give me, I don't know, allowance. But I haven't allowed for anything to happen to earn it. But I want my allowance. You know, I heard about a teenager whose parents gifted her with a trip to Hawaii. She's a junior. Because she finished, I mean, I don't know what she went through, and I'm totally not judging, but she finished a really rough year in school. It was a really rough year, and so her parents decided to gift her with a trip to Hawaii. And I was like, dude, I want a rough year in school. Can I please get that? Okay, but I've heard so many things about you guys. Have you guys heard that you're lost? That you're the lost generation? Have you guys heard this at all? Do you guys know what's going on and what people are saying about you? Okay? I mean, you may not care, but I'm just saying. You're rude. You're totally rude. You don't say thank you. Yeah. And you're like, but wait! Oh, now you want to speak up after I'm calling you all these names. Now you want to speak up. Just saying. I've also heard that you guys are faithless. That you guys are a faithless generation. I hope that you guys, if you hear this, that it's simply that you're just hearing it and you're not listening to it, letting it get down inside you. Because I believe that though that some of these things may be true in how we present ourselves, not that they're true, but they may be true in how we present ourselves, I don't believe that they're true. I believe that you guys are exact opposite of this. I believe that you guys are not entitled. I believe that you guys are willing to earn a good wage, that you're willing to work for something. I believe that you guys are not hopeless. I believe that you're not corrupt. I believe that you are faith-filled. I believe these things about you guys. But it can't just be me, and it can't just be these youth leaders, because if we didn't believe in you guys, we wouldn't be here. Just an FYI, we would not be here. I've been helping in this ministry for about 15 years. Maybe. My math could be off, and I can't even think right now. I'll correct it later. I feel like it's about 15 years. How old was I? Yeah, 15 years. So I've been helping in this ministry for that long, and I've seen teenagers come and go and come back with kids and get married and totally leave and, like, years later come back. It's like, oh, yeah. And they come out with this wild testimony of what their life was like, how crazy their life was. And now they are like, okay, I need Jesus. Let's figure that out now. Because I believe that your generation is called to bigger things than you can ever imagine, to greater things and greater heights than we've ever seen before. This is what I believe, and this is what I have kept within my heart, and this is what I pray for you guys about. I pray for these things to come to fruition. I pray for them to become the present, that you guys begin to realize who you are. I want to talk to you guys about a tree. Yes, a tree. I like plants. I mean, like, I don't like worms, but I like plants. I like to look at them. You know, especially flowers, typical, whatever. But I like to look at them. I like to admire landscape and the things around me. I love that stuff. Don't ask me to plant anything because I will probably kill it. And like I said, the worms are a problem. I mean, even if it's a pot, I'll kill it. I've tried. I'm like strictly goldfish person. Give me a goldfish because those things are impossible to kill. So give me those and I can do that. Well, even flushing it down the toilet, I'm skeptical that they die. I think they live. Anyway, Luke 17:6. If you guys have your Bibles, go with me to Luke 17:6. I'm going to read two different versions that are probably different than in your Bible. One of these versions is, I don't think that we've ever read it here. Okay, but I trust that it is the Word of God, and I really like this translation. Okay, so it's in the complete Jewish Bible, the CJB, Luke 17:6. The Lord replied, "If you had trust as tiny as a mustard seed, you can say to this fig tree, 'Be uprooted and replanted in the sea,' and it will obey you." Now, just before this verse, Jesus is talking to his disciples about bitterness. He's talking to them about forgiveness. And he just told them that if your brother, okay, like you're my brother, like not bio, but you're my brother, right? I mean, probably the same skin tone. But you're my brother in Christ, right? So if your brother sins against you, hurts you, offends you, whatever, 7 times in one day, and comes to you, is like, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. I think that's 7. Then you are to forgive him all 7 times in one day. I don't know about you, but I tend to fall under the whole fool me once. You guys know this? Help me finish it if you guys know this. Or we can go with hurt me. Let's go with hurt me once. Shame on you. I don't hear you guys. Hurt me twice. Shame on me. I tend to fall into that category. Why? Because it's easier. You mess with me, okay, lesson learned. I may let you back in to my life and maybe like, okay, we're friends, but you're right here. You mess with me again, and it's like, skirt, I'm gone. I have other people to worry about. I don't even want you in my life. Like, you have just lost it. I am shunning you. I'm acting like I don't even know your name. If I see you at school, it's all bad. Because now I'm talking mess on you, and I'm turning as many people against you as possible because you are a terrible person. Like, it's just all bad. I don't know if you guys understand that or have ever been in that situation. Maybe you've been on the flip side, and you're like, dang it, but can you just forgive me one more time? Like, I messed up. Come on. Like, aren't you? We're Christians. You're supposed to love me. You're supposed to help me. You're supposed to forgive me. So Jesus has just told them 7 times in one day you're to forgive your brother. The disciples' response is, Lord, increase our faith. What does that mean? It means we can't do this. How do you expect us to do this? Okay, we need to have greater faith because I don't even see how that's possible. 7 times in one day, like I can barely do once. So Lord, I'm going to need you to increase my faith. And Jesus follows up with this verse. I'm going to read it to you in it's called the 21st Century King James Version. Long. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be thou planted in the sea, and it shall obey you. What is a sycamine tree? Let me tell you a little bit about a sycamine tree. A sycamine tree grows to about 30 feet, okay? That's taller than 30 feet, I'm pretty sure. No, that's about it. Yeah, so let's just pretend like that's the height of the tree. It grows to about 30 feet. Okay, so it grows to about 30 feet. But the crazy thing about a sycamine tree is that it may grow to 30 feet, but the roots grow down deeper into the ground than 30 feet. And when they start to grow down deep into the ground, they begin to spread out. So I have a picture of what that looks like. Do you guys have the picture? Maybe I have a picture. Maybe you have a picture. But I have a picture in my head, but I don't know if it translates to the computer. Awesome. So this is essentially what it looks like, that the root system goes down deeper and further out than the tree itself. This is a sycamine tree. Why do we need to know about a sycamine tree? Hang tight. Because of the root system, it's difficult to kill. You can chop it off at the surface level, but it will still continue to grow. It's kind of like a worm. Have you guys ever, I don't know why I'm on a thing with worms. Have you guys ever cut a worm? Did you guys know that they can, what's the word? Thank you. Regenerate. I was going to say grow back because tree. They will regenerate, which I don't want to see and I think is super gnarly, but that's essentially what's going to happen with this tree. You can cut it off at the surface and it's going to continue to grow because of the root system down below. So this tree is a representation of bitterness. It's a representation of what happens in our hearts when we allow pain to settle and begin to grow. Bitterness becomes a sycamine tree in your heart. What it does is bitterness. Say somebody hurts your feelings, okay? It could be super minor. Like my grandma, and this is so true, okay? I'm not up here just telling you stories. My grandma, bless her heart, she's light-skinned. She's probably about Cher's complexion. And she's like super light skin. I am not. Okay? I get it from my dad, so is my brother. So my grandma, I play softball too. Saturday, I was leaving, and my grandma says, Mija, stay out of the sun. Stay out of the sun, Mija. I'm like, this is my whole life, okay? So I already know what's coming. So I'm already like building it up and like preparing the to come out. And she's like, stay out of the sun. I'm like, why? She goes, because you're going to get darker. And what's the problem with that, Grandma? I just don't like it. Well, this time I actually had a pretty decent comeback that I wasn't even expecting. It was just like, bah! And it totally shut her down. And I was like, well, Grandma, that's how God made me. So I don't understand what kind of problem you have with it. And she was just like, well, just wear sunblock. Yeah, totally on that, Grandma. So I say all that to say that it can be totally innocent, but I've been hearing this my whole life, and what it did is this bitterness, and this, what I'm teaching you guys is what I'm living out right now, okay? So it totally started to stir something up within my heart, and it was like, I am this raging monster that it wants to lash out at you. And it was just like, raw, I dare you to say something else. My grandma, okay, this is my grandma. She's like 89 years old and I'm ready to fight. Like, come on, let's throw down because you're calling me dark. Like, I was on one, okay? Because I already knew it was coming and because it already settled in my heart, I had this bitterness in my heart towards her and how she felt about the darkness of my skin. Now, that's just me. She will say, I love dark people. Does anybody else see a problem with that? I think she does, too. I genuinely believe that. But for me, she doesn't want me to be dark. So I have all this bitterness rising up, and I'm ready to lash out at her. And really what it did was Holy Spirit, when I got that and I just spoke that to her, Holy Spirit started speaking to me right away. And he's like, you need to deal with that. You need to deal with that. Because he started to show me how it's affecting my relationship with her and how I don't even like to talk to her because I'm expecting something negative to come out of her. I'm expecting this. My grandma's 89 years old. She's not going to be here very long. And I don't want to spend time with her. That's kind of mean, right? So bitterness can be something super small in your life, or it can be something large. Maybe you were abused. Maybe you don't know your parents. Maybe they said awful things to you. Awful things. The whole point is that we all have bitterness within us, or we've had, or we understand what it's like to be hurt, and we understand what it's like to allow it to turn into that in our hearts. That on the surface, we're like, no, I'm good. I'm cool. I'm cool. But down below, you got something growing, something massive growing in you. God wants to uproot that. You know, just a little bit of faith can tear down a tree. And all you need is mustard seed faith against a treetop pain. All you need is mustard seed faith to take out that tree. Something else about the sycamine tree. It grows quickly. This thing grows fast. Why? Because, if you show the tree again, because of the root system. What those roots do is they dig down deep. So deep that they actually, I mean, it's like digging a well in a sense. Digging a well, you have to go down deep. They have major machinery to dig a well, to get down to the water. These roots just dig their own way down to get to the water. So they grow very quickly. And that's the same thing about bitterness. It grows very quickly in our lives. It can be something so small, but it grows so fast. And something so small can turn into a year's or a year or years worth of pain. Something, one moment, like my grandma, one moment when I was little, one moment calling me darky. Yes, that was one of my names. One moment calling me darky turns into years worth of pain. It grows quickly. What kind of bitterness? What do you have growing down within you? What do you need to uproot in your life? And what do you have growing down deep within you? What it also does is it's a tree, so it doesn't have a choice, but it's not particular about the climate that it grows in. It will grow in any climate. So it's a tree that you can use for so many different things. And in the dry climates in Jesus' time, it was very useful because it grows quickly and it grows in any climate. The dry places in our life, that dry climate could look like a lot of things. It could look like us being needy. It could look like us having excuses. Maybe you're that needy person and you just always need a relationship, whether it's a friendship or it's a girl or a guy. You just always need something from somebody. You're always seeking after something, whether it's approval or whatever it is. You're always seeking after that. You just need it, need it, need it, need it. And God forbid another friend try to come into the picture. Oh my gosh. I've seen this happen over and over. My friends invited me over one time, and they pinned me in a corner. There was no way out. I was in this dining room that was set back, and they pinned me into a corner to confront me about something that was so stupid. Something that was so stupid. It was a guy. Guys, you're not stupid, okay? But confronted me over this guy. Why? Because my other friend had a crush on him. I had no idea, but they're confronting me over it. They want me to back out. They're coming at me. These are my friends, and they're coming at me over it. And I was like, what is going on? Like, oh my gosh, I feel like it's a scene from Pretty Little Liars or something. My goodness, it was terrible. And that totally affected me, and it really started to set some roots down deep in my heart to where I didn't want to get close to people, because this was one of the people was my best friend. And ever since then, I was like, I don't have a best friend. I don't have a best friend. I have like a handful of really close friends in my life. That's what I have. I don't need a best friend. How many times have we been hurt by something or someone and we started to change our behavior over it? We started to change the way we think or we feel about a people group or this person or people. We started to change how we behave over it. Like, maybe you got hurt and now all of a sudden you're shy. Okay, I'm not saying there's anything against shy people. But when it started because you got hurt and now you don't want to be around anybody, you want to just shut the world out because you got hurt and now all of a sudden you're shy and I can't be in a room full of people. I just get anxiety. I just can't handle it. I got to get out. You know what? Let's think about where it started. These roots grow quickly. The other thing about the sycamine tree, I know I'm jumping around, guys. Just keep track. The other thing about the sycamine tree is that in Jesus' time, because it was so difficult to kill, the only way to kill it was to uproot it. I don't know about you guys, but I don't want to be digging those roots out. I just watched my neighbor spend probably about 2.5 months going after a tree. First, it started with cutting it down to the stump. Then it started with cutting the stump up. Then it started with digging trenches around his house to get to this tree, to get to the roots. And when I drove by this morning, because I saw him and his boys out on Saturday, I'm not even joking, they were in trenches. This man is about 6'3", 6'4". He's really tall, right, Katie? Do you know what I'm talking about? He's really tall. He's like 6'3", 6'4". I saw the top of his head. He had dug down so deep to get to those roots. I saw the top of his head. Jesus is saying all it takes is a mustard seed of faith, a mustard seed of faith to uproot the entire tree, because you have to uproot the entire tree to kill it. The last thing, because of all these things, because of the deep root system, because these roots get down so deep that they always have a water source, because they thrive in dry places, those dry places of your heart, those dry places of your life, because they thrive in all these things, because you've allowed the bitterness to settle within your heart, the sycamine tree was ideal for caskets. It grows quickly. It's a constant source. It grows quickly. So in Jesus' time, they used it for caskets. If you allow your sycamine tree to stay in your heart and to continue to feed off of you like a parasite, because that's what bitterness does. It feeds off of the host like a parasite. You guys know anything about parasites? The parasite feeds off of the host. Is the parasite affected? No, it grows. It's thriving. It's having a great time just being alive. The host is the one that's in pain. The host is the one that's starving. The host is the one that you see the effects of the parasite. And that's what bitterness does, is it starts to affect you in a way where you're like, I'm cool. Yeah, you know what? What's going on inside you? Is it sucking the life out of you? So what it does, what the sycamine tree does, what bitterness does, is it begins to try to steal your hope and put your faith in a casket. If you let it grow rampant, if you let it continue to thrive in your life and you don't uproot it, it will kill your future. It will kill your destiny. It will kill your dreams. It will kill the generations around you. You guys may not be thinking about kids. Some of you guys have kids, okay? Just saying. It will start to affect the generations coming out of you. So I am presenting to you today, there is a mustard seed of faith that God talks about, that Jesus comes in and says, but a mustard seed of faith can uproot the sycamine tree and replant it in the ocean. Now think about this. The sycamine tree thrives in dry places, right? The sycamine tree is really like a desert tree. Take something that thrives in a dry place and replant it in something where it's completely saturated in water. What is it going to do? Is it going to thrive? Is it going to live? Is it going to be able to flourish? No, you're killing it. So not only is God killing, I mean, he's saying really kill it twice. Uproot the sucker, kill it, and then replant it in the ocean and kill it. Meaning don't give it a chance to come back. Don't give it a chance to come back. Don't give it a chance to start to grow again. Uproot it, replant it in the ocean, and you're done. Cut it off. Cut it from its source of life. I want you guys to just think about what I'm saying. That a little bit of faith, like a mustard seed, is enough to offset the odds that are against you. Do you guys have a picture of the mustard seed? Cool. Do you guys have one of those in the bag? One of those plastic ones? I want you guys to see. You guys are going to get one later, but I want you guys to see just how small this is. And Jesus is not saying that, I mean, this is really just a picture of what he's talking about. He's not speaking literally here. He's not saying that, like, you know, the mustard seed is the tiniest seed on earth. It's not what he's saying. It's not literal. What he's saying is trying to draw a picture of how great something can be in your life and how it can just be ruling your life and how something so small can take it out just like that. Something so small. Thanks, Zakiya. Oh, man. Thank you. When I was putting these in the little bags that you're going to get, I was getting a pinch because I thought a pinch was enough. Like, it was going to be like one, maybe two. It was like six. I even tried to scoop it with my nail and I couldn't get less than two. Like, it was crazy impossible. You guys cannot see this. I could barely feel it in my hand. My fingers. Okay? Something this small. Putting your faith out there. Your faith doesn't have to be great. But just putting your faith out there for something greater in your life. For God to heal you. Understanding that there's something more. No, I'm good. Thank you. Understanding that there's something more that he has for you. How do you do this? What you're doing is you're putting your faith out there to forgive. Remember this. Remember the verse before that? Seven times. Again, it's not literal. He's just using it as an example. Meaning over and 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 over to completion. Forgiveness is your way out. Forgiveness is how you uproot this sycamine tree. And if you guys are in here and you're like, I have more than one sycamine tree in my life, this can handle it. Putting your mustard seed of faith out there can handle it. Because I'm telling you guys, without doing this and allowing this to flourish, remember what I said about it? Remember the death part of it? It will kill your destiny. It will kill your future. It will kill generations. It will kill dreams. And remember what I was saying? God has not called you guys to be the faithless generation. He has not called you guys to be the generation that's hopeless. Worship team can come up now. He has called you guys to be the mustard seed generation because he needs you to be the mustard seed generation in order to bring generations to come to his kingdom. Uproot your sycamine tree. I'm challenging you now. Put your faith out there and uproot your sycamine tree. And just watch and see what God does in your life. Because without this, yes, your future can be hopeless. But God has not called you guys to be hopeless. God has placed dreams and visions in each of your hearts that you may not know about, that you may have forgotten about, or that you may be afraid of because they're so big. But he needs you to take care of your heart issue. He needs you to take care of your sycamine tree. Walk in forgiveness because he first displayed that for us on the cross. He is not asking you to do the impossible. He is simply asking you to do what he first did for you, to put your mustard seed of faith out there and trust him as you forgive this person or these people in your life that have hurt you and that have caused the sycamine tree to grow in your life, the ones responsible for planting it. That's what he's asking you right now. So what I'm going to ask you guys to do is if you're willing and ready to uproot your sycamine tree, I'm not going to ask the leaders to pray for you up front. They're going to come behind you and they're going to support you because you guys need to understand that there is power in you walking up here on your own and that you have power within you to ask God, that you have direct access to God. You don't need an adult to pray for you. You don't need an adult to walk you through this. It's a heart issue between you and God. I want you guys to come up here. If you guys have a sycamine tree that you need to uproot and that you need to walk in forgiveness for, then I want you guys to take a bold step of faith and I want you guys to come up here and whatever posture that may be, whether you're standing, whether you're kneeling, whatever it may be, maybe your face is on the floor, whatever it is, I want you guys to come up here and in boldness let go of your sycamine tree. and replant forgiveness in your life. Put your mustard seed out there and watch God do amazing things in you and through you because you trusted him with your mustard seed of faith. So if there's anybody in here that is willing to be the first person, it takes one to open the floodgates. If there's anybody in here that's willing to be the first person to come up here and say, Lisa, I'm ready to let go of my sycamine tree. I'm ready to put my mustard seed out there. And I'm ready to forgive and take hold of whatever it is that God has for me. Anybody, this is all on you guys. You're letting it go. I'm not doing anything. I'm not going to hold your hand. We're going to pray for you as we support you guys. You guys are the ones that are doing this. This is your choice. This is your choice. If there is somebody that has hurt you so deeply that it's affected your life, it's affected the way you think about men, about women, it's affected how you think towards authority, it's affected how you think towards your grandma. The sycamine tree will take you out if you don't take it out. If you don't choose to take this tree out, it's going to take you out. It will become a monster in your life generations down the line. We're going to sing the song as you guys are doing this. If you guys are willing to, as we sing, just feel free to come up. Close your eyes. It shuts out everything around you. You're just asking God to help you. You're asking Holy Spirit to help you do this. You're asking for the strength to do this because this is not easy. That's why not everybody's up here. This is not easy. Put your mustard seed out there.
Oh,
still seated, I want you guys to stand up. I want you guys to stand up. Because if you're seated, you're telling me a couple things. That you're okay. That you've searched your heart. You don't have a sycamore tree. That you're not willing to come up here. That you're embarrassed. You don't care. You're telling me a lot of things, and I'm not judging you for sitting there. I'm just saying, I want you guys, whether you're here or there, I want you guys to participate. God placed this song on our heart, and it was crazy the way it happened, and I'm not going to get into it, but it was super crazy the way this song came here tonight to minister to you guys. But I want to share something with you guys real quick. When we were at camp, I was just in the back praying because that's where I'm comfortable, in the back. Scares me to be up front. But I was just in the back praying. And Spirit just stirring stuff up. And this was Friday night. I was saying some things over and over and over. But one thing I was saying over and over, because I felt like you guys were withholding. You guys were holding back. And if you weren't at camp, it's fine. It still applies to you. But I felt like you guys were holding back. Maybe as a generation, maybe as those that were there, whatever it was, there was something holding you back. And I was just praying and praying, and Spirit just put this in my heart. And all I kept on saying was, rise up, 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 rise up. And I began to shout it. And I shout at baseball games, okay? For me, shouting is a big deal. But I began to shout it over the worship music. Began to just shout it. And nothing happened that night. But the next night, God did something. He did something new. He did something different. He did something that in my years of going to camp, I had never seen. And you guys were impossible to shut down. Even when Pastor Richard came up and he was trying to pray us out because it was getting close to 10. You guys were impossible to shut down. You guys kept on singing louder and louder and louder. And we could not stop you. Even Pastor Richard was like, okay, let's just do this till 10. Because we had a curfew. And it was in that moment, and this is going to sound super crazy, and maybe only girls and some guys that are married or whatever, or have moms that are like this. I have never laughed and cried at the same time with Jesus. I've done it, like, you know, if my heart's hurting and somebody comes over and makes me laugh, I'm like, like at the same time. This was totally different. The Spirit began to do something within me, and I was so overjoyed for you guys. And whatever He was doing, I was excited, and I was crying because I was like, breakthrough! It's about time, my goodness. Come on, generation. It's about time. And so we come back, and that Sunday night, I'm in the back, and I'm praying again, and I'm just worshiping because that's what I enjoy doing, is praying and worshiping in the back. And I'm in the back, and this is what Holy Spirit gave me. He just began to speak this to my spirit, and I wanted to share it with you guys. As I was studying, I believe that that's what He would have me do. He said, rise up. I have not called you to expect others to fight for you. I have called you to fight. Fight for your family. Fight for your city. Rise up and fight for your life. For the lives of those around you. Rise up for the nations. Rise up and fight for me. You are the generation to usher me in. I so believe that. This mustard seed generation is the generation to usher a move of God like we've never seen before. We've never seen before. And I am so excited about that. Jesus, we just thank you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for the freedom that we have experienced and that we have direct access to. We thank you for forgiveness. Holy Spirit, we thank you for revelation. We thank you for what you've shown us and what you've strengthened us to get rid of. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for the word that you started in our hearts, and that the word says that you are faithful to finish whatever you started. That like a lot of things around this world that go unfinished, that you are not like them. That you bring things to completion. So we thank you. We thank you for whatever was planted in hearts tonight, that it began to flourish, that it began to grow, that it began to produce life, not just within the life that is housing it, but within the lives around it, Lord, because what you have given us is not for us to keep and hang on to and be selfish with, but for us to distribute. The Bible says that people will know us by our love. So help us, Holy Spirit, display that in how we act. Help us display that in what we speak. Help us display that in all that we are, that you are the one that people see when they look at us. They see Jesus. So we thank you, Holy Spirit, for again, the work that you've done in our hearts and the work that you're doing and the work that you will continue to do to completion. We just ask right now that as we stand for ourselves and as we stand in the gap for our families, we just ask for that word to come to completion with the promise that you placed in our pastors' hearts years ago. And we stand and declare that the Inland Empire shall be saved.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.